Praise the Lord. It is so good to see all of you this morning. There's a lot of people back there. I tell you what, before Sunday school is a little light, but I tell you, after Sunday school, we filled right in. It is so good to see everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of folks traveling with school now being out and graduation and different things going on, so that's understandable, but I am so thankful that you're here and really excited about what the Lord has this morning, and I just put my trust in Him that it'll help us the way that we need help. And I want to encourage you to really look on the inside and listen to what the Word of God is saying. I told Brandy on the way over, I said, sometimes it's like there's a lot of going to church, a lot of hearing the Bible, what's being taught, what's being preached, but unfortunately, a lot of times also, there's not a lot of applying what's been taught. Now, I want you to know that's where the power lies when you start applying it. That's when lives are changed. We can know a lot of things and not act on those things, and we just know something that we haven't experienced. The Bible is something that you and I are to experience, not to replicate it or remake it, just like it happened for people that is mentioned in the Bible, but also God wants to do a work through us. And therefore, we got to apply what we learn and what we hear. So if you don't mind this morning, let's turn to 2 Samuel. We start out chapter 12 to get us started this morning. Let's turn to, 2 Samuel chapter number 12. We'll look at some verses there, then we'll fall back into chapter 11. Through reading this week and doing my Bible listening, as I call it, that sometimes as I'm driving from place to place and what have you, I like listening to the Bible app, and I think I'm kind of an audible person. I'm the type, I'll read. I don't necessarily mind to read if it's something I'm interested in, but I feel like I get more out of it if I hear it. It seems to kind of lodge a little bit better, so sometimes when I'm driving, I'm listening to the Word of God and going through the Bible, and I'm listening what's being said, and I tell you, sometimes things just jump off the, I was going to say off the page, but that wouldn't be the right thing to say, would it? Jumps out of the speaker, let's say it like that. Finds a lodging place, and it wasn't long this week when I was listening to this, the Lord just really laid it on my heart, and I'll tell you, as I was driving, just started crying, I'll just be honest with you. You think about David, and everybody here I'm sure has heard about David in the Bible, of course, and you think about things, but sometimes you get to relive that circumstance in the moment. The Lord allows it to be real to you, you know, and I found myself as I was listening to these verses in succession, I was just like, well, maybe he will get it right this time. You ever read the Bible like that, knowing what's going to happen? And you're like, don't do it, don't do that, don't do it, don't do it, get it right this time, don't do it. But he did. It is. It's recorded as it reads here. But I tell you, it's written so you and I can avoid some things if we'll apply it. That's the purpose. That's the goal. Not to go the route that David went. Now, I know we hold a lot of these people in the Bible to high esteem sometimes, but they're in the same position you and I are in because they're in the same bodies, the same flesh, susceptible. Sometimes we hold Israel higher or what have you. God loves us all. That might be his chosen people, but they have to accept him just like you and I have to accept him. The foot at the cross is level, as I've heard said. But I really hope this will help us this morning. It really left an impression on my heart in thinking about things. We'll talk about a lot of things. There's more here than we could uncover in just a morning's worth of preaching or teaching. There's a lot here, and I'll try to go through some things and not get tied down maybe on too much of it. But it's important that we apply these verses this morning. We'll start out, again, 2 Samuel chapter number 12, looking at verses 1 through 7 to get us started. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and grew it up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter. Man, he loved that little ewe lamb. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come unto him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And it goes on from there. But let's pray. Father, I just thank you this morning for the opportunity to be here. The health, Lord, the strength, God, I just thank you for that. I don't want to take anything for granted. But Lord, I know I can't do anything without you. My hope, everything that I have is in you, God, within you. And Lord, I just pray for your help this morning. I pray for our hearts this morning. Every heart that's here, every heart that hears the message, God, I just pray that you help them in the way that they need help. And God, help me in the way that I need help. Lord, it's so important that we apply what we hear, not just be hearers, but doers of your word, God, and learn from it and grow from it. That's the reason these examples are given. And God, I pray you bind the devil, keep him away from this service. God, I pray for clarity of thought, speech. Lord, help your people here today. It's not about me. It's about you and everything that you want us to learn and see in your word. And God, I pray for every heart here to receive what they need to receive this morning. And not just hear it and walk out, Lord, just discouraged. But God, be helped by your word, God. You're going to help us if we'll let you do that, God. And Lord, I pray for those that are lost. I pray for conviction upon their hearts. Lord, that today might be their day of salvation. Whoever that might be, God, I pray for them this morning also. Lord, go with us and help us, God, in everything that's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen. As I was looking at these verses here, and it kind of falls back into what we'll be looking at here. It happened in chapter number 11, but I see here how David is kindled up in all this and how he gets fierce when he hears this parable and how it's laid out. And I think a lot of times you and I do the exact same things in having it more easily looking out at other people than looking inward at what's going on in our own lives. It is so easy to hear something and react to it when you're looking out at somebody else. And see, that's what Nathan was doing here. I tell you, it's powerful. And Nathan was a brave man to go to the king of Israel and tell him these things. But the Lord told him to do it. He did it. And I'm thankful for people who are obedient to God, even in the face of fear. They're willing to do what God tells them to do. And that's what Nathan was doing. Nathan right here, he could have been killed for what he was doing if you made David mad. It could have took him out. But how sad it is to see what happened. And David here, you remember, he's young, he's ruddy. You think about when he went out and fought those animals, when he was watching after the sheep, and you think about David and Goliath, is there not a cause? This is a fireball of a man. I think he kind of got worked up when he heard this parable. But he was looking out at somebody else. You know, he's the king. He's the king. I'm the man. That's how it is. Now, you'll see also that David is a man after God's own heart, but he was still a man. David wasn't always on the right side of things. You and I are not always on the right side of things. What happens sometimes, we'll look out to see what other people are into, what they're going through and what they're dealing with, and want to judge that and neglect judging what is going on in our own lives. So that's what happened here. You see this case and what took place and how David, he was worked up. Nathan was telling this story. No doubt he was thinking, I've got to make this right, and I've got to make that person pay. That's what he was saying. That's what he said in his heart. Yeah, he's ruddy. You know what that means? He's redheaded. I believe that's what the Bible tells us also. And I think he had a temper. He's mad. Yeah, I've heard that. I don't know. I'm not jumping on anybody. I've heard that. But he's like, snap temper. This man's going to die. But you know, instantly, Nathan looked at King David and said, thou art the man. It's you. I'm talking about you. You know, we come to the house of God. That's the way we need to look at things. God is talking to you. He's not talking to your neighbor. It's not for us to look around and say, I know this one's into that, and I know this one's into that, or what have you, things like that, and sit back like a judge. It's not for us to judge. God's the judge. You know what God wants you to do? He wants you to get right with him. That's what he wants this morning. That's what he's seeking. He's not asking for our help to show somebody else that they need help. He's saying, no. I want you to get help. I'll give you a good example. He's a fellow we dealt with when I was at the sheriff's department. We dealt with him time and time again. That man, he'd steal anything. He stole things over and over and over. And we'd arrest him. We'd put him in jail. And then he'd knock on the door and say, hey, I want to give you some information, some drug information, so I can get out of here. So what he'd try to do, when he'd do his bad stuff, he'd try to pay his way out of jail by giving us information. You know what the sheriff finally told him one day? He said, listen, I just want you to quit doing what you're doing. You need to be where you're at. I don't care what you have to say. So he just said, you're where you need to be. And see, you and I think we need to adopt that, because David here, he was looking out. He's looking out at other people. He's looking out at other situations. Nathan came in to him and he told him, he said, you're the man, you're the problem. This needs to be dealt with. As hard as that is, I am thankful for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit and how the Lord will, through his mercy, come to us and say, hey, you need to get this right. We're not talking about anybody else, looking at anybody else, but you need to get this right. But we see this parable here and how heartbreaking that is. And boy, I tell you, that got my heart. I have a soft spot in my heart for animals. I've told you that. I'm not ashamed of it. Some people can take a dog or leave one, but we have princes at the house. I'm not talking about Brandy. I'm talking about Cookie, too. I'm telling you, I love animals. I do. But when we went to the beach, we wanted to make sure Emmett was taken care of. So we had our neighbor put out little pans of food and what have you, so Emmett would have enough. And, you know, we got about five cats now. My goodness, the whole neighborhood shows up. There's another one showed up yesterday, and we got another one. I was like, my lands. I'm like, we can't do this. You know, we almost had a groundhog. I was trying. I'm going to tell you, this will break your heart. I'll be honest with you. And this is what put it in my mind. When I was younger, growing up with Aaron and Daniel, Brother Aaron and Brother Daniel, good friends, of course, and Brother Aaron and Daniel, they're out in the field, and they're working in hay. That's what they did, like hay and tobacco. And so they're out there cutting it up, doing all this, and accidentally ran over groundhog, killed mama groundhog. It's like, oh my goodness. Well, guess what? She'd have a little baby. They caught that little baby. They brought that little baby home, and that became a pet. I was like, how long did you, Brady's asking about it. I was like, I don't know, but that's what they did. You could feed him cabbage, you could do all kinds of, he'd just take it out of your hand, just sit there in the living room. And so we were talking about that this week. Well, guess what? When you're coming up Vanderpool there, before you get to the school on the left or right, I don't know, it's a groundhog haven through there. You better watch. I mean, they're all over the place. So we're going up through there, we try to ease up, watch, and guess what? We drove up there, there's one dead in the road. And then Brady saw it, she told me about it, and I was like, oh no. She said, but guess what? She had a baby. There's a little baby outside the road. And I was like, oh my goodness, I'm going to catch it. I'm going to be like, here in Daniel, I'm going to have my own pet grandma. I'm serious. Brady will tell you, I'm not making this up. I'm like, this could be my chance. She wanted a squirrel one time. That never worked out, thankfully, I guess. But I was like, man, this is my chance. Well, guess what? I'm coming home. I'm driving real slow as I'm coming home, and I look over, and guess what? You look at what this little ewe lamb meant to that fella. Something he'd nourished, something he'd raised, something he had brought up. And the rich man had the audacity just to take it like he could, like there's no repercussion for it. Who did he think he was? But you go back here and you see what happens here in chapter 11, and it breaks it down. Let's look at verses 1 through 5. Man, there's a lot to unpack here. Please, please listen and pay attention. Please apply this to our lives. I'm talking to myself this morning. If it can happen to David, it could happen to anybody here. And I'm not just talking about the adultery and things it takes on. I'm talking about sin in general. It's important that we see that and we don't lose sight. 2 Samuel 11:1, it says here, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, and David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Problem number one. "And it came to pass in evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Elam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned into her house, and the woman conceived and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with child.' And David sent Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah the Hittite.' And Joab sent Uriah to David." I'll stop right there. Now let's look at a few things right here. I have heard so much talk on this on both sides. And I don't want us to get off in the weeds on that too much, but I think it's important to mention here. What I see sometimes here is like people saying about David, you know, he shouldn't have done that, of course, and everything. But a lot of times what happens is what I hear people saying, it was Bathsheba's fault, because what was she doing out there, out in public, doing what she was doing? Like she was enticing him. It was all on her. But, you know, I want to tell you something this morning. Men are responsible and accountable for their actions just like women are. Amen? Everybody can say amen to that. I'm not here to say who was in the right, who was in the wrong. They both were wrong. Nobody said, no, stop. I think sometimes what people do, they get to a place, it's like, well, if you're okay with it, then I'm okay with it. You're both in the wrong. You see a lack of respect on both sides of this account. Before I get too far with that, let's look at this. What was David doing there anyway? Why was he even there? Is that the person you'd want to be your king? The kings, it was the time of year, the season, that they were out to battle. And where was David, this mighty leader? Where was he at? He was at home. He was supposed to be at battle with his troops. He's supposed to be there, be that leader of Israel that he was supposed to be. You think about how it was, the humble beginnings that he had and how he brought up. But I think he lost sight of it on that day. So I think I'll just stay home and let them do it. If David was where he was supposed to be, this could have never happened. He should not have been there. He should have been at war with his troops. Also, let's think about this. You can be in the place you're supposed to be in and bad things still happen. Think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Joseph was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing, but what happened when he got in trouble, when things turned south? He ran as fast as he could. That's shunning the very appearance of evil. You see, there's options. When people are tempted, there's no temptation that God doesn't give us a way of escape. It's a choice. These people made a choice. Had something to decide. They had a choice to make. Now, when I see this and I think about it a whole lot, this way, in this day and time. Don't know why the Lord laid it out this way, but I hope it'll help you. I believe it will. You say, well, this won't happen to me. It can. Things happen in life. But if you'll heed this, it'll greatly help us. So David was at a place he wasn't supposed to be, and he's walking around on his porch. That was common. That's what they did in the evenings there. The place that they'd have, they'd walk out on their buildings and look around in the evening, kind of a time of relaxation, got porch sitting like we do in the South kind of thing, and that's what he was doing. So in light of that, you say, well, there's nothing wrong with it. Until he looks out and he sees this woman, and then his mind starts wandering. And see, that's where it's easy sometimes to jump on her. Here's the thing. When you're looking at something you're not supposed to be looking at, what do? You look away. What happens a lot of times, what you do is you get your mind fixated on something, and you start heading down that path, and that's the way you go. Have you ever been driving down the road and when you're looking straight ahead, you have a tendency to go straight ahead? What happens if you look to the left or to the right too long? You start fading off that way. Amen. Happy birthday to Preacher Bill Hayden this morning. I remember a time when I was younger, I got to, Dad would let me drive home from church from Mountaindale. I'd pull out and I'd start heading home. Well, I saw him in the yard one time at his house, and I was so excited. I was driving the big Monte Carlo that I wanted him to see me. I'm looking at him and waving. And I thought he was so excited because he's doing this. I was about to hit his mailbox. I was like, his house is to the left. So that's what happens. Our minds and our bodies start going in the direction that we're looking. That's why I'm today. Nobody's immune to things like this. This is what happens in life. You know, that's why when you see something that you're not supposed to see, you stop looking at it. You get your mind on something else. You don't have to drive down too far down the road for things like that to happen. And here's the thing. It don't matter what somebody else is doing. You still are supposed to do right. This whole thing, I don't agree with it. I think men and women both are supposed to respect themselves. Men dress like men. Women dress like women. But guess what? If you have somebody walking down the road that's not dressed the way they're supposed to be, don't look at it. Hit it too. Keep going straight. Amen. I'm telling you, it'll help you. You might not be able to help what you see that first time, but the second time you can. Our minds will sway and do all kinds of things. You know, you're looking at it in this application here, that's what happened, but maybe it's other things in life. Anything that takes our eyes off of God can become an idol. You get fixated on that, you stare on that, and then that's where your mind goes. You won't be satisfied until you see what that thing is about. The Bible's very straightforward in what it teaches us here. And he saw this. All he had to say was, you know what, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. Shouldn't be looking that way. I'm going to go back in my house. I'm going to mind my business. I should have been out to war with my troops, taking care of my people. But no, he didn't do that. He had a choice to make. And, I look at it this way. Of course, I believe with all my heart both were at fault. But you think about it, he was the king. The king sinned for somebody. You know, that's could be a fearful thing. It could be a badge of honor. You know, somebody reach out to you, maybe the president, somebody reach out to you and say, hey, I want you to come have supper with me at the White House. Some people might decline, but I'd say a lot of people say, I want to go. That's the president. Got to remember the position that David held, and I believe that David forgot the position that he was holding. He forgot not only the position that he was holding as king, but as God's chosen man. You, if you're saved, you're chosen by God. The importance of you and I respecting ourselves and what God has outlined for us. Man, I tell you what, you can stay here for a long, long time. David was where he was supposed to be. We see this here, 1 John 2:16. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. You got to guard against these smaller things. I read a little commentary that said, you got to guard the small gates. Got to guard the small gates. I like that. You see the big thing coming. A lot of times, sometimes, you say, well, you know, if a person does this, they're asking for it. But it don't really ever happen that way. It's incremental. It's very small, very little things that take place. It's important that we guard our time. I think idleness is one of the biggest methods that the devil can use against the children of God. A little idle time. I'm going to ask it one time. I'll just think about this. What do you normally do if you have a few minutes of free time? What's the first thing you reach for? Let's say it like that. Well, it's a gateway, isn't it? That sucker has everything. The good stuff, the bad stuff, everything. It's all right here. That's just how it is. How important it is that we guard our time from things, use things wisely, our time, our eyes, consumption devices. I tell you, I almost say it like this. Sometimes you notice things and you don't say things. But I notice this. There's times that I've been out in public and you see somebody walk by and you're like, my goodness, you know, probably shouldn't wear that. But you know what I've done is I've noticed how other men react. I've looked at other men and like, are they going to take the bait? And you can tell some people, they'll sheepishly kind of try to be, you know, secretive about it. I'm not looking, but I'm looking. But you know, there's some men, they'll turn away. There you go. Amen. Amen. That's the kind of guy that I would like to befriend. I think that's all right. Somebody that has a little knowledge and experience, not allowing things to get down the road. That's how it happens. It starts with a thought. Starts with a thought on both sides. But also it's important that we guard those idle moments that we have. You see, that's what David had here. He had some idle time on his hands. I tell you, it's good to stay busy. It's good to have a good work to do and all that. But I tell you what, I'll take it a step further. It's good to be busy for the Lord. Find what that work is for the Lord and stay busy with it. I tell you, if it's a dumpster disciple or whatever it might be, Brother Ben, do it. Do it for the Lord. Do it. Do what the Lord would have you to do. Stay busy with His work. We see another thing here. This is where it starts getting bad, I tell you. It's bad enough as it is, but now reality is starting to set in. What took just a few minutes for David to do, after it happened, reality started setting in. It's not that David wanted to do the right thing. It's not. For him to be named, to be stated as a man after God's own heart, we're seeing the man side of things, the human side of things here. Worst case scenario happened for David. She's with child. How are we going to hide this? See, that's where his mind went. Now, you can see it in today's time. You see it in the headlines. Remember, he wasn't a Baptist preacher. I want you to know that. He was a leader. He was a king. Sometimes we get things mixed up with that and what have you. He was not a Baptist preacher, all right? He was the leader of a nation. God's chosen, anointed leader of a nation. What would have been the right thing for him to do at that point in time after he'd already messed up? Make it right. Confess it. Don't let that thing go. Here's the thing. If you are in a mess, stop what you're doing and turn around. Don't keep digging. It will only get worse. I promise you that. It will only get worse from that point on. You see what happened? She's with child, so his wheels start turning. He is spending a lot of time trying to figure out how to cover this thing up. That's the title this morning, by the way, to cover it. That's what he's spending his time doing. He's not out, how can I make this right? I'm going to make a public statement. I'm going to put it out there. I'm going to ask for forgiveness. His pride, his shame, his position would not let him do that. I'm better off to try to hide it. Nobody needs to know. That was his goal. So what does he do? He calls in Uriah. Boy, Uriah is a good fella. This Uriah is a good fella too. Amen. You know what that name means? They probably do. It means God is my light. Flame of God. That's what the name Uriah means. You'll see he lived up to his name in his actions. So David calls him back. He's a man of war. Calls him back from the war. So his mind, he's thinking, if I can call him back, give him a break, let him go home to his wife, let him stay with his wife this night or a few nights while this is going on, maybe he will be with her. And guess what? When this child is born, we'll have it all covered up. That's David. That's not some pagan out there thinking that this is David. If it happened to David, it could happen to you and me. We've got to keep our eyes on the Lord. So he's like, okay, let's do this. But guess what? Uriah was such a good man, he said, I am not going to go back home to my wife, eat that good home cooking, eat that good home chicken and dumplings, and have all those niceties while my men are out there at battle. I'm not going to do it. David's like, you're killing me, man. You're killing me. You think about the shame that he felt. You think about what he was trying to do. He was trying to smooth things over, but yet this man, his attributes was what was keeping him, David, from getting what he wanted. Get him drunk. Get him not to think it right. David, I'm telling you, literally, I was crying. I'm like, this is David. This is David. What are you doing? So he gets Uriah drunk, hoping that would lower his inhibitions, get him to go home. But you know what Uriah said? Uh-uh. I'll sleep on your couch. I'll stay here. I'm not going home. I'm not going to do it. So he stayed there that night, and he went back to war. That's a good man. He said, there's no way. I'm going to go back and enjoy my life as normal while my men can't. That's what a good king would have done. That's what a good leader would have done. Should have done. Well, it's not over. You know, that could have been another stopping place for David. David could have said, well, all right, I tried, but he's such a good fella. I've got to come clean. The cover-up continued. You look what happened here. You go down, all the way down, verses 14 through 27. If you read that, I'll read a little bit here. I tell you, it's a sad thing that he done. It said, and it came to pass in the morning that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. Sent it by the hand of Uriah. Uriah had his own death certificate in his hand. Didn't know it. He was so trusting to honor his king that he delivered the note. He didn't read it. He's like, I wonder what this says. No, he didn't do that. He delivered it. And he wrote the letter saying, Set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire from him that ye may be smitten, that he may be smitten and die. My goodness. How far are you willing to go to hide your sin versus make it right? How many lives are you willing to affect? I'm asking you, this is us. I'm telling you, how far we're willing to go for these things is really a telling of the condition of our hearts. I'll stop right here. Again, David wasn't a pagan. David was God's man. I'm talking about a Christian man making a bad decision. I think sometimes people can get it in their minds that if I'm saved, I can't mess up, make mistakes. Yes, you can. And equally, God holds you accountable. You might be a child of God, but you're going to be accountable for what you do. I'm accountable for what I do. Also accountable for the things that I'm supposed to do that I don't do. I'm accountable. And it came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into the place where he knew that valiant men were. This is where the fight is hot. This is where your top soldiers are. This is where your fighters are. And the men of the city went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people and the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Now you go back and you read a little bit of what it was saying here that there at the beginning. It talks about how he was, let's see here. Verse 15 where I'd written, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. He's saying, you get him out there, you act like you're fighting with him, and then you turn and you run away. You imagine in those last seconds what Uriah was thinking. Recorded here, what did he do? Exactly what he was supposed to do. He was where he was supposed to be, doing what he was supposed to be doing, and then everybody turned their back on him just because of King David. That's dirty. People are willing to go a far way, a far distance to try to hide what they've done, even at the expense of other people thinking, think about Dave, what was he thinking? I'm the king, I can get by with this, I've got enough resources, I can hide this, this is manageable. I can do all the PR and have the right people in their place. Oh, and it gets worse. Boy, I tell you, look what it said here. Imagine this Facebook post as it gets on down here. It says, then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war. So Joab gives him an update, tells him what happened, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, if it be so that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city? When did fight? Know ye not that they would shoot him from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, Bethbeth? I can't say that. Did not a woman cast thee a piece of millstone upon him from the wall, that he died in Thebes, and that they went nigh unto the wall, and they said, thou, the servant Uriah the Hittite, is dead also. And the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent for. And he goes down to say here, now when you go and you tell his family what happened, tell him how valiantly he fought. Tell him how he stood in there like a good soldier. You're the one who put him there. He's trying to console the family and tried to make it out like he was a brave soldier that just died in war. You set him up. Look how much further it goes. It's important that you and I realize that we don't sin unto ourselves. I see something here, Hebrews 3:13, it says also, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. That word deceitfulness, that means to mislead the mind, to cause to err, to cause to believe what is false or disbelieve what is true. The importance of just being truthful. When you see this here, there's things about unconfessed sin, it snowballs. When you find out you're in a mess, the first thing you need to do is get that right with God. Stop where you're at. A lot of times people aren't willing to do that. They're willing to try to push it as far as they can. I've heard it said like this in talking to law enforcement, deny, deny, deny. No matter what they say, no matter if they try to get you to confess to what you've done, deny, deny, deny. And I've seen that fail more times than once. When evidence comes out and shows it, you're toast. No repentance, no remorse. You see, you think about this with David. He didn't repent of this until he had to. This thing, he was willing to let it play out as far as he could. You go on and you read again what happened there, and I won't go there for sake of time. I know we're running out of time, but you read what happens there. And you go on in chapter number 12, you see what it cost him. It wasn't just the loss of his son. That first son with Bathsheba, you see what happened. She was with child. After Uriah was killed, after he died, he didn't just let well enough alone. You know what he did? He brought Bathsheba in and said, you're my wife. Let's get married. Tried to smooth things over and keep it going like nothing had happened. I don't know how long of a time that was and how much a span of time, but I'd say it was a little while that took place. They get married, and then you see what happens also, the punishment that God puts on that. God doesn't let things go. You see the death of their son, and you think, well, you know, that's sad, but it was just an infant child, and the child, you know, probably never knew anything or whatever, but wait, there's more. As there were levels to the cover-up, there's also levels to the punishment that takes place here. You see what happens, the way that this goes on further to lead, and I won't read it all, but after this, the sword would never leave Israel. David would not have another time of peace. Now, that wasn't just David, that was the whole nation of Israel. You look at Psalm 51, that's your homework. I'll give you this as your homework. Psalm 51, that's the prayer that David had after all this happened. But you think about what David had to carry afterwards. When it wasn't that God just dealt with him and him alone, his sin affected the entire nation of Israel. You know, I think about the sin and different things that go on in our nation today. I mean, you know, I stand against it. It's silliness in some ways. You see all this, saw on King Street all the mess going on, the flag and all that. Saw some people standing up there and had Bible verses and things. I'm like, amen, amen. People don't realize how much sin of other people affects you. People tell you, what I do don't affect you. Yes, it does. What I do affects you. If I go out here and have a great big mess up, pray that that don't happen, guess what? It's going to affect everybody in here, not just my family, not just me. It'll affect every single one of us. You go out and something like that, I mean, you know, here's the thing, we affect each other. Important, again, is making a stand, but how you make a stand against things. I just want to say this again. looking at 12, 1 through 7. It took David seeing how sin looked on somebody else before he could see how bad his sin was. When he looked at it on somebody else, he saw what somebody else had done, the parable that was given. It was so easy for him to see how bad, how malicious, how pitiless that was. And he could look at it, and you see how he was enraged, and then that was over a ewe lamb. And then you look and you see the gravity of what David actually did. It was magnitudes worse than that. Things can grow. Things can fester and manifest in ways we don't want to see it happen if we're not willing to do things the way the Lord would have us to. I don't know exactly why the Lord lays things on my heart the way that he does, but I pray and I trust that this is a help to somebody. That's the message this morning. I here's the thing you say, now how can I come and pray after that? That's the best thing. I wouldn't let anything keep me from getting right with God this morning. I think that's the most important thing we can do at any point in time. If you want to be close to God, you can be. But I invite the ladies to come. If you will, stand with me.